Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge the season of The Passage now.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
God fucking damn it, I just got another fucking message about the gold ads. Leave me alone.
All right, and this is All It right. Could Happen Here, Sophie.
Welcome to It Could Happen Here, a podcast about the incredible investment vehicle that is gold. Now, look,
people,
if you aren't currently putting all of your money into gold, and I mean all of your money, then you're just leaving cash on the table. Gold is such a good investment vehicle that if you had bought $10,000 worth of gold 20 years ago, you would have roughly the same amount of money. Can you beat gold?
Yeah.
No, you can't.
I've replaced most of my teeth with gold, and I have roughly the same amount of teeth, though. It's a win-win.
Wow. Incredible.
Yep.
Gold is perfect for a number of reasons. Look, if you're worried about instability, obviously, if society collapses, gold is the thing that you want to have. Because, of course, you'll still be able to trade what is fundamentally a useless rock for goods and services in the event that there's no civilization. That just makes complete sense. Don't stock up on ammunition. Stock up on gold.
What about gold ammunition, Robert?
If you want to kill super vampires, that's what you want, is gold bullets.
You know, there is something like, maybe it's like survival of the fittest. I'm allergic to gold. So if I touch it gives me a rash. So I can't survive in a world of gold.
If you need to take out Shireen in the apocalypse, make sure a gold spear or something.
Yeah. Just gift her jewelry.
Look, it's a good idea. According to one of my friends who has read much more Marx than I do, Marx predicted that we would go back to the gold standard. It's going to be great.
The immortal science wins again.
can't argue with Carl.
This is actually, today we are talking about collapse, but not the collapse of the economy, because the economy is kind of always collapsing. That's part of what makes it the economy. Instead, we're talking about the fact that the market for eggs has gotten insane. People are paying crazy prices for huevos these days.
Beautiful.
And there's no good reason for it, obviously. Like, it's the egg production in some places was like impacted by the bird flu, but that is not why eggs have gotten more expensive. It's pure corporate greed. But regardless of that, people are finding themselves thinking about, like, wow, eggs are expensive as hell. Should I maybe get some chickens? And today we have several chicken owners on the podcast, myself and James Stout, and several people who don't have chickens but are chicken curious. So we're going to talk about having chickens. James,
hi. Take yeah.
Yeah,
I do. I've been training for this my whole life. So
yeah, this was your idea. So
yeah, this is very much my baby. So if you guys just want to sit back and learn about chickens, I'd be happy to.
Your baby, James, or your egg?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it, Robert? One could be the other if given enough time.
Yeah, people have talked about this, I've heard.
Yeah, it's been a discussion for some time in the chicken community. All right, let's talk about chickens. So I want to start out with, like, if you're thinking about getting chickens, and I have written a script for this, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, I am. I'm ready to roll. So the most important thing, obviously, when you're getting animals, you're getting any animals, is like that you're responsible for a living thing and you have to take care of it. And you have to be kind to it, and you have to treat it well and make sure that if you're not able to look after it, like if you travel a lot for work, then someone else can, right?
Yes.
I think chickens are particularly useless, or they're useful, and they're very nice, but they're not like the most practical of animals. Like if you leave them alone, they will die. If it gets too hot, they will die. If it gets too cold, they will die. Like you do have to look after them. They're not like a wild animal that comes in sometimes and lays eggs. Like, they're an extremely domesticated animal that's been domesticated for, I don't know, probably thousands of years. So it's a responsibility, I guess. I'm going to go through some of my stuff. If you guys have any questions as we like move along, please feel free to ask them. I want to start out with the breeds of chickens, which I think are a good idea. So when you're looking at chickens, the first thing you're going to want to look at is your space, right? Like, how much space do I have? And there are websites where you can calculate, like, you're working with your acreage or how many yards you have, how many chickens are appropriate.
James, the level of prep in this doc is beautiful. I'm like so happy.
Very organized.
I will note, be careful about getting too many. When I got the place that I got, I inherited 14 chickens.
Wow.
And that is a tremendous quantity of chickens. And there was especially, chickens make, you know, kind of in their prime egg laying can make one. Sometimes some chickens will do two a day. So there were weeks where I was getting like close to 100 eggs, which is far more eggs than a human being can possibly consume.
Yeah, Robert hasn't pooped.
Like, you can consume, I can consume 100 eggs.
Yeah. Well,
Mia, they will consume you.
I will mail you eggs.
Yeah,
I always need more eggs. Eggs are like eight. I walked into the grocery store. I'm now doing the bit. I walked into the grocery store and the eggs were $8.50, and I was like, "What the fuck is going on here?"
Man, I'm gonna make a fucking bank. I have like literally 60 eggs sitting in my kitchen right now.
Robert's gonna sell eggs on the dark web. That's
You're goddamn right. This is how I fucking leave this damn podcasting bullshit behind. I'm gonna become the egg man. Cuckoo. Shoo, bitches!
Finally, a use for cryptocurrency.
Egg coin. It's actually it's tied to the value of eggs. It's the only cryptocurrency that's completely collapsed. Don't over chicken yourself, like starting out, but also don't get too few. You do want at least three.
Yeah.
Or they'll be sad, or they won't get along.
And if you're like a normal household, three is probably a great number of chickens. Yeah. Like you will probably be quite happy with three to four chickens.
Yeah, you'll get like, if you estimate like six eggs per chicken per week, it's like a fair kind of estimate.
So
they'll take some time off during the year or when the seasons change, they'll molt and stuff. So 18 eggs, like, yeah, you're going pretty hard in a normal household if you're eating that many. So I think if you start, people like to think that they should get bantams to start off with. Do we know what bantams are? Non-chicken understanders?
No. I have a lot of chickens, but I don't know anything about the kinds of chickens.
So we've had a few bantams. They're not great, to be honest. Like, bantams are mostly showing birds. So it's a smaller chicken. Think of it as like a half-sized chicken, right? And if you've seen like a really fancy, and you can go ahead and Google some bantams.
Like some different.
Oh, that's
a little guy. Bird.
Yeah.
They're so little.
Yeah, yeah, they're really like pretty.
I like large chickens. Now, look, I don't engage in cockfighting. I think it's immoral. But I like to know theoretically if they had to, my chickens could handle themselves in a fight.
Did anybody ever think Robert would be like, yeah, I'm a big chicken guy? Like, what? Insufferable.
You want big chickens. Some breeds to look for are Orpingtons, like buff Orpingtons. You can remember they're big because they're buff.
Hell yeah. Jacked great ass chickens.
Yeah, get a yoked Orpington. Get a hench Rhode Island Red. People in America don't say hench, do
they? Look how cute the bantam
is.
No,
but that's amazing.
What did you, oh, yeah, we used to have a couple of those.
Just so beautiful. So
one of the things about bantams is you can't get them point of lay. So point of lay is when they've been sexed, right? So you know that they're girls, and they come to you just when they're about to lay, right? And mm-hmm. You get bantams younger and you don't get them sexed. So in our case, we had one. She crowed a lot, so we thought she's a rooster. She wasn't, and the other one was a rooster. That's going to be an issue for you.
Well, my question. Do you need to get a rooster also?
No. You don't. So the chickens
then
are going
to
lay regardless.
To me. I can't. I don't understand how that works.
Okay, so the chickens are going to lay regardless, right? That's just
why.
Like the,
how?
They just do.
That's the eggs aren't fertilized, right?
Yeah.
That's
so
true.
They won't make chickens.
They won't be baby chickens.
Oh, it's like if like, yeah. Okay, I get it. I get it. Yeah. I had to imagine like a human doing it, and I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's
kind of like their equivalent of menstruation, effectively.
Yeah,
right?
I understand. Like, yeah, I know that now. Everything's coming back to me as far as like vegan talking points go.
Chickens, by the way, because chickens are, as James said, these are animals and you have to take good care of them. That is your responsibility. You do low-key realize the longer you have them that they're monsters. Like, their favorite food is their own kind. They
we have
love
a section about
eating
this.
Each
yeah.
other.
They're cannibals?
Like, yeah.
They are
they're
tiny
monsters.
Fucking dinosaurs. Yeah. So, like, like don't go outside with your chickens. Like, the other day I was cutting down some bushes, and I was wearing shorts, had a little cut from the thorn, and when they see blood, they are just like fucking Exocet missiles.
What? So it's
boom, boom.
Does that affect the egg? Like when
I mean, what
when
you feed them. So when we butchered a deer last year, and we wound up with a lot of like deer fat and kind of like meat that
you gave it to the chickens.
Well, yeah, we had some stuff because the deer had been hit by a car. There was some meat we couldn't eat, so we wound up giving several pounds of meat to the chickens, and those eggs fucking ruled.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay, it's not advised to feed them deer, but. Yeah, so you want to stuff, actually, so if they do bleed, there's a stuff called purple spray. I'm sure it's not what it's actually called, but it's purple and it's a spray. And we already called it purple spray. You can spray it on them and it just stops it looking like blood. I'm sure it's like an antibiotic or maybe an antiseptic. But you can spray that on the chicken. So like one of mine, she's just got this little thing on her wing that opens up every now and again. And I just make sure I spray that. And that stops her from the other ones from pecking her, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah,
you have to be
tiny dinosaurs. Yeah.
We had last year some kind of animal. I think it was probably a possum or something. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. Some kind of animal got into the coop and attacked my chickens. And I had one chicken. We called it the anarchist chicken because it could always escape. It like never was in the cage. Mm-hmm. And when they got attacked, the anarchist chicken leapt to defend the rest of the flock and fought off whatever it was it attacked. But she wound up with a hole in her side. And so I like took her and I dressed the wound and I put her back in the cage and they all immediately tried to eat her.
You want to have a separation cage.
Yeah, yeah, that was the lesson that I learned. I had to take her out because...
Yeah. We have a tiny rabbit hutch that we use. It's called the Merrill Peep Memorial Chicken Hospital because Merrill Peep is one of our chickens who died. And you just put them in that for a few days until they're better and then they can reintegrate just fine. We've made very little progress on my script. Okay, so
sorry.
You want to get Buff Orpingtons, Rhode Island Reds are good, Plymouth Rocks, Americanas are nice. Have you guys seen those?
No.
If we don't know, I don't know anything about what you're talking about. Everything you're saying sounds like a different language.
What do they teach you in school? So they're called Easter eggers sometimes. They lay different color eggs, like pastel color eggs, like blue and green eggs.
No.
Have you not been exposed to this at all?
No.
Okay, I mean, I grew up next to a cornfield, but also I guess I was around a farm, but we didn't interact with the chickens because I don't know. They were like, here, deal with cows instead. And I was like...
Yeah, chickens are good. Don't go dive straight into cattle if you're, you know, getting into animal husbandry. But yeah, Americanas are fun because they lay these colored eggs. One of my friend's dads had them when I was a kid and he made bank selling them around Easter. So yeah, if you're looking to get into your chicken hustle. And then leghorns are like really good. They're like hardy chickens, but they are loud. So if you live near people... I would consider not. You should also check your local laws. Like where I live, you can't have a rooster. You can have up to 5 chickens within city limits. You can't have a rooster. You don't really want a rooster unless you're looking to have chicks.
No, and one of the things roosters can do is, like, peck at your chickens and effectively, like, wear holes in their, like, they wind up, like,
they're little bastards.
Parts. Yeah, they're little sons of bitches.
They're we
harvested ours as soon as I got the place. And
harvested.
Yeah. That's
okay,
the term.
This leads into a question that I've been wanting to ask, which is that, okay, it is my firm belief that I could defeat a chicken in single combat. It would send me to the hospital. But apparently this is a thing you need to do with your chickens. So how practical is it to defeat a chicken in single combat if you have to extract another chicken or something?
I've never actually had any kind of aggression from my chickens. No.
When I'm bleeding, they'll peck my leg. But like,
yeah.
How is that not aggression?
For a while, we hadn't realized that, like, a thing that you want when you get chickens is a rodent-proof feeder, right? So you don't want to just put the food in a bowl. If you have an issue with rodents, you want to have the thing. So, like, basically, she comes up, she stands on a step, and that opens up the feeder, and she can peck and eat, right? You want to get a rodent-proof feeder, you can just buy them at Tractor Supply. But ours gummed up with rain, and we didn't realize. And the chickens were obviously not getting food. They were upset with this, so they would attack me every time I came outside. They'd attack me, and I'd be like, go away. So I'd give them treats, right? I'd give them, like, worms and apples. A kitten has arrived.
I have to. She was wanting to hold or to be held. I'm holding my cat for anyone that's like, what's happening?
She just wanted to be snuggled. That's okay. She's giving you a kiss. The mime would attack me for a while, and I just gave them mealworms when they would attack me. So unconsciously, I was reinforcing the attacking behavior. And so they would attack me for a while, but I think you could take them. Just keep swinging. You don't have to. They're very, like, most of the time, at least mine, I hand feed them. So, like, a nice treat for them is I'll cut a melon in half. And then I'll chase Shireen because she's allergic to melons.
I am.
And then you just hold it out and they'll come and eat it.
They love scraps. Like, that's often like what I do with basically all of my food waste is give it to the chickens, and they tend to be very happy with that.
Yeah, it's a very sustainable thing. Let's get on to space because I want to talk about diet.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. So before we get into this, speaking of sustainability, do you know who else is incredibly sustainable?
Oh, wow.
I don't think gold? We can say that.
Capitalism? Yes, inherently so.
Shiny stuff.
It will last 1,000 years.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
We're back.
Yep. Buy some gold.
Mm-hmm. Buy some gold.
Want to reinforce that.
Because gold, yeah, when you're starving, will be more useful than chickens.
Because it's shiny.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. It'll make you forget that you're slowly starving to death.
Yeah. That it's the foundation of all of this shit, is that it's shiny. Okay. Yeah, so talking of shiny things, I want to talk about chicken coops. Because
hell yeah.
There's a shiny thing section. We'll get.
I love a good coop.
Oh, I do love a coop. I love to make a coop. I'd have to buy a coop. I'd have to help my friends buy coops. It's a great conversation area. Anyway, so they do need a coop. They need a place where they can go at night, and you want it to be shut off from predators, right? So you don't want like your possum, your raccoon, and your fox, your stoat, your weasel, ferret, whatever you're dealing with, snake. So once you get above three chickens, you might want to have more than one nesting box in there. But like, this doesn't necessarily mean that you need to go out and buy. Like, you can buy them on Amazon now, but they're quite expensive and they're often quite shit. Like the pre-made chicken coops are very poor quality. Like, if you have a shed or a kennel or something like that, you can pretty easily make it into a coop. You can just put a drop-down door on the front so you can close them in at night and let them out in the morning. I've seen people use like drawers, you know, like dressers. Just open those and use them as nesting boxes. You want to put down some straw in your nesting box.
I think four for the chickens that I have now, which is about, I think we've got about 11. Two of them are large enough for two at a time, and then two of them are smaller. Although chickens will, and sometimes one of the things you have to do occasionally is come in and like take them out of the nesting boxes. Some of them get like stuck in a loop where
they get broody.
Yeah. And so I just like take them out and set them down where there's like some stuff to peck at, and they seem to, it kind of resets their little chicken brains.
Silky bantams, which are one of the like show bantams, get broody as fuck, and it's like I've had friends who have had them, and they will not eat and not drink because they're just like, no, I'm sitting on this egg, like you can't stop me. And you have to like lock them out of the.
There's not even an egg there, chicken. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Well, they'll take another chicken's egg. Yeah, or
silky
even like
bantams.
Silky.
That's cute.
Look them up. They're real. They're floofers. They're very cute. So you want to build them a run too, right? A place where they can safely run around, have their food, have their water. I would suggest using construction netting when you build a run, bro, that people call chicken wire, which is like maybe 1-inch size holes. But like a lot of stuff can get through that. You'd be amazed. Like rats, mice, snakes can all get through that. If you use construction netting, which is like maybe, I'm not very good at inches, but like about 1 centimeter size, a lot less is going to get through it. And you might want to bury it down to like a foot or two below the run if you're building something permanent, just because things can dig underneath, right? Like we had a fox dig underneath when I was a kid. It's preferable to do that to putting it on the floor of your run because they don't like the little wire on the little feet.
Yeah, so, no, definitely not on the. Yeah. You want them to have access to dirt and ideally sometimes grass too. One thing that they, because I will let them out sometimes during the day, and I have a barn that has like it's kind of dust in there, like not dust, almost like sandy dry dirt. Yeah. And one of their favorite things, especially during the summer, is to just kind of like sit down and rub,
that
dirt all up in the. And they kind of need to be able to do some version of that in order to be like healthy. Otherwise, it's good for them. It's good for their skin. It's good for them existing.
Yeah, it's good for their mental health, I think. They're like, oh, people keep cooking in terrible conditions commercially, but that doesn't mean you have an excuse to. So,
When I got these chickens, they had been, the people who'd had them before, I don't know what the fuck was wrong with them. They had a sizable outside run, but whoever, the folks who had them had covered the entire bottom in stone. So they were just like living on stone.
That's yeah,
like,
they don't when like
we,
that.
No, they were in horrible shape. And when we harvested the rooster, his gizzard was full of automotive glass.
Like, what?
Yeah, it was fucked up. It was I spent, because they all had huge patches of them that like were bald. We dealt with that partially by getting rid of the rooster and partially by making sure we gave them. I still do mix in oyster shell bits with the calcium's good for them.
Yeah, so you'll know if they need that. Like, if they start coming, and it's actually really dangerous. Like, an egg can rupture inside if they're laying it, and that can be fatal. So you want to make sure. If we can cover food quickly, I guess. So they do like to grub for worms and stuff like that, right? Look for insects, and they love to have scraps. But for a laying chicken, you want to make sure it's getting a decent base diet of layers pellets, which should be like somewhere between 16 and 18% protein.
Wait, sorry, what kind of pellets?
Layer pellets.
Yeah.
There's a number of brands of it, but they're called layer pellets.
Yeah. Some of them will already have oyster shell and grit. And like Robert said, they do need those. If not, you can augment them, but it's probably just going to be easier to just get one sack and just dump it all in. They do need access to water as well that they can get out all day. I think it's better to use like a nipple type drinker, which is you can take a bucket, any bucket, right, fill it up, and then you put these little nipples and they're red. And again, they like to peck at red stuff, so they'll peck at them. And then they get, and that stops like, you know, they can't put their feet in the water and get their shit from their feet in the water and get sick. Like, they're not clean animals. So just if you do that. And then I like to put a little bit, it's hot where I live in San Diego, so I put a little bit of electrolyte stuff in there for them, and they don't seem to mind, and it just seems to help. It's good to, you can feed them kitchen scraps, but you don't want to overload them, especially on carby stuff. Like, they do need enough protein to keep up their laying, and they definitely need enough calcium. One thing I will say, if you're going to buy something, if you're going to buy a chicken coop, there's a company called Igloo, which is like Igloo, but egg. They make some really nice prefab coops that are pretty good. And you can buy an attachment which puts a little door on it that it uses a solar panel, I guess, to charge itself. And then it will open at daylight and close at sunset. And so if you're the sort of person who knows that you'll forget to bring your chickens in, obviously they're at risk at night from predation and things, and they become completely fucking useless at night. Like, when they go to sleep, you can pick them up and turn them upside down and stuff. They're just like,
yeah. My interior, the interior of my coop has, it's really cute. It's basically like a ladder, like a very wide ladder going up the side of the building, and they just all stand on like it as like a group of 20, like at different levels of the ladder, and they just sit there as they sleep at night.
Yeah, they need it's a perch to sleep on. Actually, that's a good reminder. You can't just put them on the floor.
Yeah, they don't like just being in the dirt.
No, and then like something to entertain them. So a good thing to entertain them is like an old, if you have CDs still. Young listeners may not remember having CD collections, but if you do have CDs, or you know, you can find CDs, you can just hang those and they'll peck at them and stuff because they're kind of shiny and they move around. So it's a good thing to do with your Alanis Morissette CDs. Yeah.
They also really like, I mean, one of the things that, so I just tore out what was left of my front lawn in order to grow more stuff. And I just tossed all of the chunks of like soil and grass in there. They love pecking at that shit. It's like one of their favorite things in the world.
Yeah, we put them on. I have some planters out back, and they're like fenced off so the chickens can't get in. And then when we turn them over, when we like replant them, we'll put them in there, and they just go ham. And they find these huge worms. So I have no idea how they got in there.
No.
But yeah, they love that stuff.
Yeah, and I let them out into the yard periodically, and it's always whenever I have to like walk them back in, because you kind of just like loop around them to like guide the flock as they move, because they'll kind of instinctively go away from you if you're walking towards them. One of my hobbies is to like pretend to be an old.
Let's go to that break. I feel like we should stop this immediately.
buy some gold.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I pretend it's the Shawshank Redemption, which is why I'm giving my chickens a boat by the coast.
We're trapped here.
For when they escape. Yeah.
Robert's going to go and show us why he cut the hole in his bed sheet.
All of us love having health insurance. Please stop.
It's true. Can I ask a question about space? So, like, how much physical room do they need? Like, how much land do you have to have?
So you can look up, there are pretty good, like, calculators online where you can look up how many square yards or whatever you have. But I'm terrible at estimating size. But, you know, my I don't have a very big garden. You know, we've had up to six chickens. But you do want to just look it up. And it's not like the square yardage you have isn't as important as the access they have to stuff, right?
Yeah. Can they get sunlight? Can they be, like, out in the dirt? Yeah. Like, something that feels like, you know, where a chicken would want to be.
Okay, but this is like not something you could run from in an apartment, right?
No.
I mean, unless you need to be outside.
Yeah, if you live in an apartment that like has a yard or something that's shared, you potentially could. But no, you do need like some amount of dirt and grass, essentially. Yeah,
if you maybe have like a community garden, you could talk to people about doing it there. Like, so mine just go all around my yard all day, and like, if as you guys have noticed, also come into my office. And then they'll put themselves to bed at night. Like, they know where their home is. So they'll just go back to bed at night. I want to talk a little bit about health, because there are definitely some chicken health things. And just it's very expensive to take chickens to the vet, actually, because you have to go to an exotic and avian vet, and they're quite rare.
A what vet?
Exotic and avian vet.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could take them to a regular vet, but most of the time... So actually, if your chickens get sick, in most states, there's a state-run helpline you can call, and it's free, and they'll put you onto a vet right away.
Yeah.
And they're very, very helpful. And
that's
the reason...
because of the danger of different avian flus, like infecting large numbers of animals.
Yeah.
Does something similar to pet insurance exist for farm animals, or not really?
It does, but I don't think you probably wouldn't want to be investing in that for your chickens. Like if you're breeding livestock,
right.
That's the thing you can have.
One of the things you do have to keep in mind is that at some point you will have to kill them, because they will get old enough or sick enough, and some form of euthanasia will wind up being kinder than continuing to like let them be. That's true of any kind of livestock, right? At some point you have to, if you don't just want to let it die naturally, which again, in a lot of cases will be prolonging its suffering, you do have to be willing to take care of that one way or the other.
Yeah, like you can give them the best life you can give them and look after them for as long as you can, but oftentimes, they will. Or they'll get hurt, right? Like if some...
Yes, they'll get injured.
Species gets in there.
Well, I think
that's
a good reality to remind people of, that it's actually like a serious thing to have a chicken and then be responsible for its life and death, and also like the egg comes out of their butthole, right? So it's covered in poop.
Yes, well, it's their cloaca. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, just like cartoon chicken laying. You know what I mean? Like I think I had to wrap my head around that a while ago.
But it's not that game that everyone played in COVID where you're on an island and you build stuff.
I just think people usually are really flippant with stuff like animals, you know?
It's a living animal and like you have to take care of it and it's your responsibility, right? So like you need to think about that. Also, you don't want to let the bum holes get too poopy. We're talking about health. So they can get worms that way and that's really bad. So if you see that, you just pick them up and they'll be... This is why you want to handle them when they're young so that you can handle them with stuff like this. So like, I'll just pick them up and use a spray bottle or a little hose with a bit of warm water, and they don't mind that at all. At least they don't give me any shit. Yeah. But you want to look up some of the common things you're going to see are like gape worm. It's called gape worm because they'll gape. You'll see them gaping. They can be egg bound, and then depending on where you are, right, they can be too hot or too cold. So you do need to make sure they have shade. I found this thing. I found it. Someone was moving out. It's like a mister that like they have at restaurants. When you like go to a restaurant in LA and it's hot and they have an annoying wetness.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
It's Have you ever been to like an amusement park and like a line? They sometimes have them too if it's really hot.
Misting.
Well, sometimes in the like fruit and vegetables when you go to the supermarket.
Yeah, I've seen it there, but that's the only restaurants.
Yeah, they have them at restaurants.
Not inside.
Outside. Went like patio seating. There's misters to make it.
If
so
you're
that
in like
you're
Phoenix
hot.
Or somewhere.
Yeah.
So I got one of those. You can find a lot of this shit, by the way. Like if you live in a place that is gentrifying, like unfortunately has happened in the part of San Diego I live in. Like for instance, all the wood for my chicken coop, I didn't pay for that shit. Like there's rich people doing stuff to houses. It doesn't need to be done. Just like obtain wood from their building sites.
Obtain.
Look, it's like those pallets of bricks. If they didn't want you to use them, they wouldn't leave it out there.
Yeah. And why would Elizabeth Warren have sent the pallets of bricks if she didn't want you to use them? Obviously, like health wise, like I say, you want to make sure you have that purple spray on hand. You want to be giving them some electrolytes in their water. You want to make sure they have shade if it's hot and that their coop is warm. Like they don't like it much below freezing.
Right, no,
so like 32.
And, yeah, I keep like a heat lamp basically all winter in there with a red bulb so it doesn't like upset their sleep patterns.
Yeah, so the way battery people do it, like battery chickens, is they do more day night cycles using artificial light to make the chickens lay more. If you see what I mean, and the chickens will lay at an accelerated rate.
Yeah, it'll keep them laying during the winter at a lower rate.
Be doing that. That's not particularly good for the birds.
No, I let them rest this winter.
Yeah, let them, they're animals. They, they don't just exist to provide you food.
Like, a question on this. Like, how cold, is there like a point it gets in the winter where it's like you probably shouldn't have them?
Well, you just want to keep the coop warm. And then like, when we were at Tenacious Unicorn Ranch, right? They have chickens. I don't know how cold it was, but I went to bed every night with a Nalgene full of boiling water. And when I woke up, I was hugging an ice baby. Like, it was so cold. Yeah. The heater where I was staying didn't work the first time. So, like, it was cold AF. And the chickens had a nice warm coop with a heat lamp, and they were fine.
Yeah, you can. I mean, people keep chickens in every imaginable climate. So, as long as you're careful about making sure, you know, that you have a warm place for them to sleep, they will be okay.
Yeah,
and okay, you can. Can you like let them out in the snow and stuff, or should you?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they yeah, love yeah, snow. Yeah, yeah. No, cool. They have fun with that. It snowed yesterday, and my chickens are having a great time out. Oh, outside.
Yeah. They like it actually. Cute. Like they'll run. Like I remember at home, my chickens love the snow. Yeah, and talk to when you're buying the chickens, right? Like, consider that in your breed choice. Like, some of them are going to do better in cold, some they're going to do. Some of them are going to not like the heat.
And honestly, like, one of the better things you can do in that situation, if you're like, if I live in some weird ass part of the world where it's freezing half the time, just Google like keeping backyard chickens, whatever the name of your area is, and then Reddit. And you will find people talking on Reddit. This is the breed that I picked, and this is what I do. And you know,
people love to talk about their chickens. So the backyard chickens Reddit was one of my resources.
Exactly.
It's a good place to look. So if you have a coop, you're going to want to clean it, right? You can use that chicken poop as fertilizer.
Oh, it's some of the best in the world. Yeah.
So then if you're into this sort of, you know, like growing your own food, then this all works well, right? You give the chickens scraps, chickens make you eggs, they poop. You put that into your plants, you have nice plants. You want to balance it out. It's a bit acidic. I think you're just using the shit. So you want to be composting with other stuff as well, right?
And
checking your soil chemistry before you sort of go ham. But so you can do that. You do want to make sure. Yeah, I've got a poultry helpline. We spoke about that. California's is great, though. Like, don't hesitate to call the poultry helpline if you need help. Like, there's people who are being paid to help you. And, like, vet is normally, like, I know, like, most pet owners, unless they're very wealthy, will have had to make horrible decisions about their pet's health versus their own income when they've, like, you know, and it's shit. So that helpline is free. And like Robert said, it's because they're very scared of infectious diseases. So take advantage of like your, you know, taxpayer funded chicken vet and give them a call. I don't know if it's in every state, but I know it's in a lot of them. Go ahead.
Oh, are you going to talk about giving them like the shake and bake treatment for what do you call it? If they get mites.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and talk about it.
So, you know, chickens can get, there's like a skin, it functions similarly to like a skin infection. There's like little mites that will get on them. You'll notice bald patches. It can be, I mean, it's bad for their health, obviously. Like, you would not want to be covered in mites. And so there's this kind of mite killer called Promethrin. And the way that you can apply it in a number of ways, but you basically need to coat the entire chicken. It's essentially a white powder. So what we did when we had to do it is we just took a large feed bag and we filled it with Permethrin, and we put the chickens in it once at a time and just kind of like give them a little shake. So they got covered. And so you're shaking, baking all of them. And then they're just like wandering around confused and covered in this white powder. Like, what the fuck happened? It's very funny.
I've never done that.
It's very fun. It's the best way because they get covered very quickly that way. Yeah. Like
with mites and dust and stuff, you do want to make sure that where they're living is not too moist or not too dusty because they can get like respiratory conditions from that. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that, you know, they're living in a nice environment. They also, like, the biggest health thing you're going to see is that they will peck at each other, right? Especially when you first get your birds, they're going to establish what's called a pecking order. Which, you know, people have heard another, but literally an order in which they get
food.
Well,
I didn't know the meaning. I didn't understand what that meant completely until right now, this moment.
That's my gift to you.
Very
Shane.
Helpful today. It's a lot of learning.
Oh, it's what they call a knowledge transfer. So they'll do that. They'll peck, right? They'll establish an order. When you get a new bird, you don't really want to introduce one new bird at once, right? So say this is how you get fucking conned into having bantams, because let's say your garden can support four chickens and then one of your girls dies and you're sad and you want to get more birds. So you're like, well, we can't go to five full size chickens. So we'll get bantams, right? Like two half size chickens. And that is good for the social dynamic because one won't get picked on. One won't be like the new girl. And then they like pick on her. But then you've got bantams and then I'm not very pro bantam. They're just difficult.
Wait, so how do they establish the pecking order? They peck at each other and
peck
then
at each other, yeah.
And then what?
Well, basically, one of the... Well, it's just like any other, like, physical confrontation. Like, they peck at each other, and they're like, okay, well, you're harder than me. I'm not here for that. So back down. Sometimes they will really start picking on one, and then you do have to separate them for a while. So you just got to watch out for that, and you got to be vigilant. And when you first get them, you're going to be excited, and you're going to want to go outside and, like, interact with them. So, you know, you'll be watching that anyway. So, like, just, you know, make sure you have treats and stuff, and separate them, and don't be scared. Like, they can't hurt you, they're chickens. But yeah, it's normal for them to peck at each other. You've got to keep an eye out for if they do draw blood. Like Robert said, they are fucking dinosaurs, yeah. And they will just hone in on that. So that's when you have to separate them or come in with your purple spray. So yeah, you just have to make sure that you're aware of that. And
you said that they pecked at your leg when it was bleeding. Does that hurt?
A little bit. Like, it's you
wouldn't
peck.
Do it recreationally.
Yeah, maybe some people would, you know, I'm not here to yuck your yum.
Yeah. If you are turned on by being pecked by chickens,
it's exactly like, it's not...
They're not like full body attack.
I walk in every day to feed my chickens and I don't get pecked or anything. Okay. Like, they're fine.
They're not like attack animals.
Look, and chickens, by the way, are like every other creature. Some of them are assholes, right? Like,
yes,
it's any kind of animal that you have, and any kind, like, just like people, some of them are dicks.
Yeah. I remember, like, on that subject, I was a few years ago, I was writing about rattlesnake behavior for a story, and there's this one fucking rattlesnake, which literally every time I ride past it, it's just like, bam! Like, it will fucking try. Like, I was talking to the snake behavior expert, and he's like, yeah, man, that one's an asshole.
Some of them are just jackasses.
Don't know what to tell you, dude. Yeah. Like, you've just come across a bell end. Like, it is what it is. So, yeah, sometimes you're just going to have a chicken, which is mean, and you just got to hope that it doesn't, you know. You got to make your choice then, right? If it's really causing chaos in the flock, like, what are you going to do with it?
That may be a chicken that you eat. Which, by the way, one of the things you learn keeping chickens is how wildly we have fucked up the chickens that we use for meat. Because, like, a normal chicken does not produce breast meat that is that size. Like, that is the size of, like, a normal grocery store chicken breast. Those are from monsters that we made.
Well, yeah, breast meat was popular. So they made they inserted, like, a hormone or whatever to make that part of the chicken grow. And, I mean, I've seen videos of, like, the chicken toppling over because it's so heavy.
Yeah,
it's not supposed to be that way.
It's madness.
No. Yeah, it's so sad.
And their bones are not fully developed. Like, it's very cruel. Like, I am...
Yeah, it's fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't eat meat. Like, I'm not really, like, down with the way the American commercial agriculture raises animals at all. Like, I grew up on a farm. Like, I've raised animals my whole life.
No, I'm with you. I agree.
Fucking touching. Cheap meat in the store. I understand that other people do. You got to feed your families, whatever.
And obviously, one way or the other, if you're raising chickens, like, and you, at some point, you know, the chicken is going to die, if at all possible, I think you do kind of have a responsibility to find some use for that meat.
Unless they're sick, in which case, you know.
Yeah, obviously, if they get, like, I had to kill two last year because they got, like, some sort of avian flu. And
the state people will come and take them away and do an autopsy if they do get sick like that. And so that's nice to know, because then do I have to worry about the rest of my flock?
Yeah.
You know, what is this? Or is there something in the soil? Is it something I'm feeding them? You know, you can, if you have concerns like that, it's nice to have them do that.
That's a really good note.
But yeah, you if you are responsible for them, like, and you have to give them the best life they can and the kindest death, and, you know, you're responsible for them suffering as little as possible in their little lives. We used to buy chickens when I was a kid from a guy who bred chickens for a battery farm, and we'd go and get them as chicks. And just be like, you are going to run around our farm all day and have a wonderful life. And I'm so sorry the rest of you have this fucking horrible existence.
Yeah.
But it was nice to save some of them. So it's going to be hard to get chickens right now. So my last thing was really, like, when you're buying chickens, right? Where are you going to get your chickens from? So hopefully, you know, where you live, you have, like, a farm shop.
Steal them. Liberate them from a battery farm.
Yeah.
Shoot your way in.
That's it. It doesn't matter. It's worth it. They have a right.
You will probably, I actually think people have literally gotten domestic terrorism charges for that.
Yes. But, well, I think it was pigs, wasn't it? That they got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chickens are not charismatic enough for people to go to prison over.
Yeah,
I know. Fair. It's unfair. Yeah. It's unfair. It's racism,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah, if there's one thing we could tell you as a group of individuals legally responsible for what we say, it's arm yourself and liberate poultry.
Yeah, fight your way
ironic,
in.
I think. The most concrete evidence of like dinosaurs have like now devolved into these chickens. You know what I mean? Like that is so funny to me that out of all the animals, that is the closest thing we have to a dinosaur. Yeah. That is
tiny velociraptor.
They are dinosaurs. And again, their favorite food is their own kind. And also every now and then I will give them some of their eggs just because it makes them so happy to eat.
Well, I was going to ask, what you said that it tasted different when you gave them meat. Like, what is the difference that you caught in the taste when they do eat their own eggs versus like just the feed?
Oh, no. I mean, their own eggs don't. I've never fed them enough for it to be a meaningful component of their
diet. If they're
sick,
they will eat scrambled egg. Cottage cheese, they like to, or oatmeal when they're sick.
Can you taste a difference?
If you give them herbs, one thing that people do is give them little bundles of herbs, and you can taste that in the egg.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. It's just kind of richer, you know, when you... Yeah. You'll notice different, if they are calcium deficient, the eggs are really fragile, and if they have a shitload of calcium in their diet, like, my eggs are, like... You have to want to crack those fuckers.
If you feed them flax seeds, then the eggs have a higher omega-3 content. Like if you
I didn't know that.
It's like it makes sense. Yeah. It's super interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you can give them flax seeds and like that kind of thing. Yeah. You can mess with their diet a bit, and they like that stuff. So when you're buying them, what you want, I think, as a beginner, is like a point of lay bird. And you say point of lay, and that's what they'll give you. You know, they're going to try and give you pullets, or they're going to try and say it's nice to raise chicks. But and it is, it's really nice to raise chicks. But some of them will die, and that will be upsetting for you.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Like, it's again, a lot of work.
That's a general note. Any lifetime, if you decide that you want to be a person who has livestock, you have to be okay with them dying, and it being an experience that is more direct to you than like. Obviously, it's not as emotional as like when a cat or a dog dies, but it will not involve a vet with the kind of frequency that like a dying pet does. Like you will have to deal with, animals die because animals just die. Sometimes they wind up with the same kind of ailments people have, where like an animal's heart will give out or something, and you didn't do anything wrong. It's just an animal was born with a heart defect, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like a thing that occurs if you have enough animals.
Mm. Yeah, we used to say if you have livestock, you'll have dead stock one day.
Yeah.
Like, it's just something you have to face up to. But, like, someone else is already doing that shit, and they're probably doing it with less compassion than you if you're buying, you know, Walmart eggs. So, you're not God, but, like, you owe these animals, like, a decent life and as little suffering as you can. So, buy the point of lay chickens. Make sure that they're sexed, right? You don't want a rooster. You might not legally be able to have a rooster. And then something like a dog container is fine. I bought them home in a shoebox before. I'll just put them next to me in my truck, and they're pretty chill. Like, you know, I give them a little bit of water in there, but generally they don't, you know, want to drink. You can kind of swaddle them. I've seen people swaddle them, if they're really panicking or whatever. Swaddling is like when you wrap them, like you would with a baby.
Like a burrito.
And people do that, I know, when they have to move them in like a hurricane to try and calm them down. But I've always just put them in a dog container.
Oh, are we going to talk about storing eggs?
Oh, yeah, because people don't fucking... Yeah, this is a weird American thing. So this doesn't happen in the rest of the world, but you guys get your eggs refrigerated, and that's because they're washed before they come to you.
Yeah. You don't need to do this normally.
No, you shouldn't wash your eggs, nor should you refrigerate them. Just I have a little helter-skelter thing. It just looks like a spiral. Right, and you put the egg on the top, and it just rolls its little way down until it gets to the bottom. And that way, I always take them from the bottom, and that way I'm always sort of getting the oldest eggs first, so I don't end up with, like, one at the bottom of the basket, right?
So you don't wash them?
No, just bring them
in. No, not until you're ready to eat them. Obviously, wash them before you cook them, because some of them will have poop and stuff on them.
Right,
but before that, just keep them normal. And they'll last for months like that. Like, I've never had a bad egg.
There are a couple of other ways to store. Obviously, you could pickle them. Be very careful with that if you are canning them. I would recommend just pickling them and putting them in the fridge, because eggs in particular, like hard-boiled eggs in particular, are troublesome to can, because there's always, if you think about hard-boiled eggs, there's always like little bitty cracks in like the white of the egg, and that is where botulism can live. So be extremely careful if you are pickling eggs. I would recommend don't like, you know, can them specifically, just pickle them and put them in the fridge, and you know, they'll last a pretty good amount of time.
Yeah. Pickled eggs are delicious.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Sorry, is the thing about not refrigerating the eggs, so do you actually still have to refrigerate like ones you get from the store?
Yes, you can, in this country, yes.
You can roll them in vegetable oil and I think ash, which replicates the way that they have a membrane on them.
I hadn't heard about that.
But they fell like all intent. If you're buying
them from... membrane on them?
Yes.
Yeah, when they come out.
Like a little pull, basically. Huh.
Yeah, like it kind of fills the pores on the outside of the egg, I think, as I understand it. So you, if you really wanted to store them and you didn't have access to a refrigerator, you could do the oil and ash thing. You should look it up.
The other thing you can do that is, because again, if you have any quantity of chickens, there's a good chance that they will produce, like I have a problem with this, significantly more eggs than you can consume. An interesting way to, are you going to talk about water glassing?
Oh, no, talk about it though.
Yeah.
We've done that.
You can look it up. I'm not going to give you a guide over this because preserving stuff is something that you should take care on. But you can Google water glassing. It's basically a way you can keep eggs for like up to a year that way.
Yeah.
In like crackable, friable condition. But I think we are getting the note that James and I should stop talking about chickens for now.
We can continue in another episode.
Mm-hmm. James and I will talk about chickens. Day. Privately after this, and you all aren't privy to it.
I mean, James said it. People love to talk about their chickens. They do.
They do be loving to talk about chickens. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we'll start a side podcast for Patreon reasons.
Chicken cast.
Chicken cast.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Poultry pod.
Until next time, take a lesson from the chickens and eat your own young.
Okay.
Oh my God. It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge the season of The Passage now.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.